Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, can I get everyone to please stand in for the reading of God's word this morning? So the scripture that we're reading from this morning is Isaiah 6. So it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed.'"
Come on, Father, I thank you this morning, God, that your word is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut between bone and marrow, so we're able to dissect truth from that which is not of you. So, God, I pray that you would help me to steward well your word for us, Lord. Help us to hear your heart. Ultimately, we want to hear from you, Lord God. So we make room for you to come and speak to your children. Lord, I pray just for your presence to come and flood our hearts with the sense of your love and the sense of your grace in this place. In Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen. I don't know about you, but today is the sort of word, the sort of scripture that it's not one you're going to want to spectate to. It's one that hopefully the Holy Spirit will initiate something in you and activate something in you. I see a few new faces. Can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? Welcome. Welcome. We hope you feel welcome here at Every Nation Brisbane. My name is Nelly, and I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation. I bring greetings. Actually, I spent the last 2 weeks in Southeast Asia, in Singapore and Malaysia, being with our churches there. And I wanted to send their love and greetings to you, Pastor Timothy Law, and our churches, who heads all of our churches in Malaysia, including our church in Penang with David's dad. Shout out to Penang, best food city in Southeast Asia. And then, of course, our pastors in Singapore, Pastor Joy Bonifacio, sends his greetings to you all as well. But I've been really excited to be back, to be honest. Like, the moment I got off the plane, I mean, Henry came to pick me up. Thank you, Henry. I told him, can we turn the aircon off? I want to wind the window down and breathe actual air. Not haze from Indonesia air, like actual air. So we are so blessed. How many of you, like, when you arrive from wherever you're traveling and then you see the big open sky and you're like, man, I'm home. Like, even though we lost the Rugby World Cup last week and I was being prepared to come and console my Wallaby fans in the church, now I need consolation. Praise God, on Emirates, they had the live coverage on the plane, but I was surrounded by British people. So it was hard. It was tough. But I have since repented. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that I worship a God who never fails. Even when the most winningest team in any national sport fails, our God never fails. Amen. I've even dressed in mourning with my All Blacks. It's not in support of the All Blacks. It's more in mourning for the nation of New Zealand who have had their idols torn down for the lifting up of the true God of Aotearoa, Jesus Christ. Land of the long white cloud. We believe the white cloud is the cloud of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, as we're continuing this series called Roll Call, about hearing the voice of God. How many of you enjoyed Henry's message last week? I thought it was phenomenal. I listened to the podcast. Go ahead, give it up for what God did through my brother. And he talked about the difference between Samuel and Eli. We'll get to that in a moment. But I wanted to talk about it from the sense of positioning ourselves as well. I'll start from where he ended, But I wanted to just ask you this question. Have you ever thought about, this is a screenshot of the app WhatsApp. How many of you have WhatsApp on your phone, right? So WhatsApp, they have like the ticks, right? One tick means it's sent, but hasn't been received. And then the two ticks, and then the two blue ticks means it's been sent, received, and read. And so like they have a similar thing on Facebook, right? Like where you communicate and then it says seen. And so I see some of you, you're like, I'm not opening that one up because if I open it, then I'll need to respond. I know none of you do that, but maybe you have a friend that does that, right? And then sometimes you don't receive a message because how many of you have this on your phone? On Apple phones, we have this. I'm not sure about Android, but like they have bars in accordance to, I'm kidding, by the way. Your phones are so good right now. It's harder to make these Apple jokes. But like, you know, the number of bars determines the strength of the signal and your ability to receive the message. So what I wanted to call my message today is two blue ticks and five bars. Two blue ticks and five bars. Why am I calling them that? Because I'm talking about hearing, so receiving the message of God, and then being able to respond adequately and accurately to how God has called us. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Now, last week, Henry was talking about Eli and Samuel, and I wanted to go again and highlight this here and just talk about how God speaks to us and how God builds in us. Say this with me. He builds generationally. He builds revelationally. He builds relationally, and then he builds nationally, even internationally, right? Nationally. So the first aspect of it in terms of talking about the difference between how he built generationally through Eli, and many of you will remember that Eli was positioned. Remember, Henry was talking about being in position versus having a position, right? Eli had the position. He was the professional man of God, so to speak, because he was the priest. And so he was one who carried the title of priest on his business card. But you could tell by the way that he received and responded, there was quite a difference. So when we look at it, the difference here, you can see that he did not pass on his godliness to his sons. Now, Henry alluded to that last week, his sons Hophni and Phinehas. And they would take the things of the temple and party with them, right? And they would end up with the girls at the temple, they would hook up with them. And so what was supposed to be a godly legacy was not passed down, whereas for Samuel was the result of a godly legacy. Now, Samuel wasn't perfect because Samuel too, the Bible also goes on to talk about how he did not pass down his godly legacy, but he was a very godly man himself. So he was the result. And what was he the result of? He was the result of a desire to see God moving generationally. Secondly, revelationally. Remember, Hannah was crying out in desperation to God in order that she might have a son that might be used by God to change the nation. And Eli saw her and immediately judged her in her desperation, thinking that she was drunk. So he had the position. She was in position to receive the promise of God. I don't know. Like, yes, it was sad news the All Blacks lost. Many of you may have heard another thing that happened over the weekend was Kanye West released an album called Jesus is King. Now, the question I've been asked on DMs on both Instagram and Facebook is, oh, is he really legit? You're asking the wrong question. Because if somebody like Kanye West was to walk in the doors of our church, the question needs to be, are we legit? And being able to receive people despite their platform and being able to worship alongside them. Because guess what? If Kanye West isn't legit, if Chance the Rapper, whoever is not legit, then I basically don't have a platform either. Because I'm not perfect, but by the grace of God, I'm standing here. Of course, there's qualifications that I have, but my qualifications that I have in terms of my study only enable me to deliver what I deliver, but what I am delivering is by the grace of God. So we need to be careful that we don't position ourselves to judge people. Let God deal with the motive of Kanye West. Well, let's pray for Kanye West. Because that album that he just released on Friday night at midnight is more God glorifying. I mean, there's Jesus in every single song. It's so worshipful than a lot of Christian rap that's out there that's too scared to talk about Jesus. And so he's positioned, like, we can't judge his motives, but hey, what about the beautiful work of art that glorifies God? Let's separate the two. Because otherwise, what we have, we won't have the book of Psalms. Do you realize that David was an adulterer and a murderer? We wouldn't have the book of Psalms if we were judging David's motives. In fact, most of the Bible, because most of those guys that wrote the Bible had a very, very sinful past. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He killed Christians. But then when his life was turned around by Christ, oh, I don't know if Philippians is legit. You know what I'm saying? God wants to position us as the church to receive those who are broken and lost. And sure, you know, like sure, there may be things that we need to be wise about in terms of what's presented, but you know, like we've got to be careful. There's a difference between discernment and judgment. Discern what God, how God might be. Truth is truth, and truth is the person of Jesus Christ. So be careful how we can use our so-called being positioned to judge those who have an earnest motive of desperation. In fact, meet them in their desperation and help them find Christ. Maybe the picture is immature because they don't know Christ well, or they haven't, like the Ethiopian with Philip, they don't have anybody to guide them. But that's our job, to guide them, not to judge them. Thirdly, relationally, right? So Eli used his position without the responsibility of pointing people towards God. And Samuel was positioned to hear and recognize God's voice. Then fourthly, Eli was supposed to be the representative of the nation of Israel for the people of God. But the Bible says here in 1 Samuel 3:7, now the boy Samuel was ministering to Eli, to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And Henry alluded to this last week. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. I got to wonder if God was silent or whether we were actually listening. Or were we too busy preconceiving things and judging people that we weren't able to hear and sense what the Holy Spirit might be speaking to us by his word and by his spirit. Samuel, though, on a national level, check this out, he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. There's a position of humility that God is calling his church, not just this church, but the body of Christ towards this morning. Will we be positioned, or will we care more about our position on our business card or how long we've been a Christian? Now let's go, talking about this position, let's go to Isaiah 6, the passage that Steph read this morning. It says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now let's imagine the temple, right? It's a glorious room where people come to worship. It's opulent, it's magnificent, but even more magnificent was this picture of the Lord on the throne and the train of his robe. Those of you who are unfamiliar what a train is, the train is much like the train of a bridal dress that when you walk in, how many of you remember, those of you who are of a certain age, remember Princess Diana? Yes, that's right. Seasoned. We'll call us seasoned. I'm not going to name names, right, Paul? I'm not going to name names. But I remember watching her walk into Westminster Abbey, and I was like, man, that's a long dress. I hope no kids run over and, you know, trip over it. But the train of her bridal dress, you know, she walked all the way down the aisle and the train still was coming through, right? But the train of his robe not only came through, but it was layer upon layer upon, like a good cake, just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. Every layer, it was so layered that it filled the whole temple. It wasn't just like one long train. That's how glorious the robe of our enthroned king was. And what the prophet Isaiah is trying to allude to is that there was a beauty, because King Uzziah was a good king. So when he passed, it was like the people of Israel had kind of lost their center. But here comes the Lord seated on the throne. The train of his robe fills the temple so much you can't see anything else but his glory. It just suffocates the room with this magnificent weightiness of this glory. What he's trying to say here is, sure we had a king. Sure we had a reliable king. Sure we had a reliable All Blacks team. But from time to time, they're going to fail. Once every 100 years, they will fail. But we serve a king whose glory never fails. Never fails. Let me say that again to get that in your spirit. He never fails. Absolutely never. Like everything that you're believing God for, he's not going to fail. It's just a matter of our position, right? Are we positioned? Or do we snatch the throne back? The question I ask you today is, who's on the throne? Whose throne is it anyway? Who's on the throne of your heart? Because anxiety and worry comes upon your heart when you say, you know what, I got this, get off the throne. You're most stressed when you take things upon you that should be handed over to the one who's trained of his robe fills the temple with glory to the point where you don't see anything else but him. Check this out. And above him stood seraphim. These are mighty angels. I remember one of the founders of this movement, Pastor Rice Brooks, used to say, right? He used to say, angels aren't cute little babies with diapers and little wings. Angels are mighty glorious beings. And if you think that angels are little babies with diapers, when you see an actual angel, you're going to need a diaper. That's what he used to say. Because that's how amazingly glorious they are. But look, what happens is they are these mighty warrior angels, right? But in light of who the glorious one is, they had six wings. Now, many of you who have been Christian for a while and you understand biblical numbers have significance. Six is the number of imperfection, right? In light of the glorious one, even these beings who we would look at as not being sinful still see the glory of our glorious Lord, and their response is to take those six wings. Now notice this, two cover their face, two cover their feet, and with two they fly. So two, they cover their face, two, they cover their feet, and two, they take flight. Now I want you to watch why this is. When you are covered with shame, you cover your face because of things that have happened. If you go to Eastern places, when you visit their homes, what's the first thing you do before you enter the home? You take off your shoes, right? Spray your socks? No. You take off your shoes before you enter the home. Doesn't matter if you go to Pinoy Home Depot, take off your shoes, here, slipper, and then you come in the home. Same with the Samoan family. Is it like that in Latin? Is it like that in Brazil? Sometimes. That depends on your shoes. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a reverence because you have gone places, and if you come in, that they're dirty. And if you go to an Israelite home at the time, they'd actually provide you with a basin and wash your feet, or they would actually have people that come serve you and wash your feet. That's why significance of what Jesus did in washing his disciples' feet was seeing that position that he had, but positioning himself in humility, in servant leadership. But I want you to watch this, right? Covering of the face, shame from the past. Covering of the feet, crippled from the future, because your feet take you into what's next. And then flight. See, there is an extending of the wings and a flapping that keeps them up. And this is the state of man. Because of things that have affected us, we bring in a shame from our past. We're crippled from the future that God has for us. And in order to maintain some form or semblance of righteousness, we keep our wings extended and flapping in order that we may try to stay in flight, i.e. we work towards our righteousness. I love what the Cambridge Bible School commentary said about this. The sense is well expressed. With two, he covered his face that he might not see, and with two, he covered his body that he might not be seen. I want us to understand that this is the state that we're in, that often we find ourselves in a place where we're ashamed of things that have happened in the past, but we don't position ourselves in humility before the one who is glorious. And then we cover our feet because we don't think that God can bring us into something new. And so it cripples us from actually getting breakthrough, moving forward and allowing God to heal our shame so that we can move forward in what he's called us to. And what ends up happening in our own lives is that we flap in order to try to stay afloat, try to keep ourselves in position. Continues on here and says, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So not only the temple, but the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. They're taking flight and they're worshiping the beautiful Lord enthroned. And the reason why the Hebrew uses the term holy three times is because they don't have what we call the suffix EST, right? You've got great, greater, greatest, right? I believe that Chris Tomlin's next powerful hit will be something about the greatest God, because he wrote, how great is our God? Then his next big song was, our God is greater. You seeing a pattern here? Trust me, I'm just a prophetic songwriter sense. But like, there is no EST suffix in the Hebrew. So when you say something three times, it's like, that's the ultimate form of whatever that adjective you are ascribing to that thing. So you don't want to go into a Hebrew home and hear the word ugly three times. Oh, ugly, ugly, ugly. Oh, fat, fat, fat. You know, like, but here is Here's the way it was positioned, guys. I want you to catch this, right? Angels would look upon the glory of God and then look at it from one angle and they'll be like, holy, holy, holy. And then they'd fly over to the other angle and they'd, holy, holy, holy. And they'd be singing this, holy, holy, holy. No matter where they went, it's like, holy, holy. No matter what angle they looked at the glory of God, they try to look at it from even higher. They'd be like, holy, holy, holy. And then they're trying to look for from underneath and it's just holy all around. The holiest. Words are not sufficient to describe the beauty and the majesty and of the holiness of God. And notice the word that they choose, holy. They could have said love, love, love. They could have said justice, justice, justice. But the word they chose was holy. The word holy means to be set apart, completely different from that which you are around. There's a theological term we call consecrated, right? That's the being separate, not in a religious way, but in a way that you look different because you walk with God, who is holy, holy, holy. We sang it. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, there are different responses to the holiness of God. And here's how Isaiah responded. He says, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In other words, when you see the glory of God and the majesty of God, you recognize how sinful you are in light of who he is. Did you catch that? So what the enemy tries to do is get your eyes off God so that you can focus on your own righteousness around what you're surrounded by in comparison to. So then it becomes more about flapping your righteousness, trying to keep yourself elevated. When in light of who God is, he says, there's no point in flapping. In fact, the other place where we find this holy, holy, holy is in Revelation 1, where John the Revelator, who's on the Isle of Patmos, he's been in prison. Now, many of you will remember that every single one of the apostles, every single one of Jesus' disciples died a martyr's death, apart from Judas, obviously, but died a martyr's death. In other words, they died for their faith. Except John. You know, some documents have him being boiled in oil and surviving. And because he survived, they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And that's where he saw the Lord. And he also was overwhelmed with the glory of God. The Bible says that he fell on his face like a dead man in light of who God is, the beauty of who he is. See, the enemy will do whatever you can to take your eyes off of the beauty and the holiness of God, because compared to one another, you know, we try to measure up. And this is the reason why, as great as social media is as a tool for the advancement of the gospel, it's actually an accelerator for the spirit of comparison. Because what ends up happening, and praise God that Mark Zuckerberg took away the numbers of likes that are on Instagram and Facebook now, so that you don't think, oh, I've got less likes than the other person. But you got to be careful that you don't start comparing with one another, because the point was never to look at one another in the point of comparison, but to look to the Lord and see who we are in light of him. And that's the gospel. This is where the gospel starts, right? Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. So he recognizes, not only am I sinful, but everybody around me has fallen. And then one of the seraphim, one of the angels comes and flew to me. You can imagine, right? Not only is he woeful at this point, but then one of those big warrior angels flies to him. I would have freaked out a little bit. I don't know about you. And then having in his hand a burning coal. That's just so an awesome picture. This mighty angel with this burning coal descends upon him. And he's taken with tongs from where? What happens at an altar? Sacrifice, right? Bible says that there, you know, in order to worship, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable before God. Are you holy and acceptable on your own? Absolutely not. Any effort to be holy is like flapping. But it takes a God who would send someone to bring the hot coal to purify our lips. Watch what happens here. In verse 7, he touched my mouth, Isaiah says, and behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Beautiful. So, what we're seeing here is a precursor to the gospel. And what would evidently happen later, and we'll get to this in just a point, It's from that place that they're sent, that Isaiah is sent. So we look to God firstly, right? And we see his glory. That's why the Bible in Psalms encourages us to trust him as the lifter of our heads. Another place in Psalms it says, I look to the hills from where our help comes from. The enemy would try to have your head down, lowered, so as not to look about at the hope that God has for you. So we look to God and we see his glory. A.W. Tozer said it this way, the glory of God always comes at the sacrifice, there's that altar again, of self. So we look up towards God. Then we look in and we see that we are utterly blemished. Many of you are familiar with this passage, Romans 3. The righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. So it's for everybody, but there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The starting point is the glory of God. The second part about it is in light of the glory of God, we find ourselves, every single one of us, fallen short. And then we look at the beauty of the grace of God that atones for our fallenness, atones for our sin, and removes our shame. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? That you don't need to walk in shame anymore. You don't need to walk in shame anymore. If you recognize your shame, recognize the glory of God, recognize that he has given his best in order that we don't need to embrace that shame anymore. You're still at a point of choice as to whether you release that shame to him or not. It's on you now. This is the gospel. We still, in the beauty of God's sovereignty, yes, he predestines people to hear the message. Yes, he elects people to hear the message, but we still have a response to that message that he gives us in light of his sovereignty. And he does that today. Some of y'all are looking at me and you might be like, man, I've heard this message so many times. This is the only message. It's the gospel. Everything flows out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the beauty of it. Check this out. Romans 6:23. Again, a very popular passage, but I want you to get this in your spirit. For the wages of sin is death. How do you get wages? Yeah, like Rihanna, you work, 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 right? In other words, you flap, 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 flap. And all that flapping leads to death. But what? But what? But the gift. How do you get a gift? Do you work for it? No. It's undeserved. It's a recognition of your woefulness without God. And then he brings the atonement. He brings the redemption. He brings the forgiveness. He brings the release of you from the shackles of shame. He brings that to you, totally undeserved. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our what? He doesn't say our Savior. Yes, he's our Savior, but our response to what he's done is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord as a response to him just having a love. He didn't have to love us. He didn't have to forgive us. He didn't have to cleanse us, but he has, and our response can only be, he's Lord. Despite all those parts of the gospel, we still have a response. Do we embrace what he's done? The way to embrace it is to declare that he is Lord of your life. Now I want you to catch this, right? There are two types of people in the world, those who accept him as Lord and those who don't. But that doesn't change the fact that he is Lord. It's just a matter of whether you believe he's Lord or not. There's the law of non-contradiction, right? If I'm standing up here and I say that KFC will be open for lunch, some of you all are looking at me like, prophesy, man of God. If I say that KFC is going to be open at lunchtime, and my brother Henry says, no, it's not going to be open at lunchtime, we're speaking what this generation calls your truth. How many of you have heard people, hashtag speak your truth? There's no such thing as your truth and my truth. There's just the truth, right? Because all we have to do is drive over to KFC, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Come on. You know what? Because one of us is going to be wrong. So this whole thing of speak your truth, nah. If your truth is contradictory to my truth, then one of us is wrong. And so here's the truth. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's just a matter of whether you'll take the gift. It's like when you're, how many of you like remember at your birthday and somebody bought you that gift that you didn't like? Like you opened it up and you're like, what the heck is this? But then you have to look because it's going on Instagram. You have to look up and you have to give that, you know, that Oscar winning performance. Like, man, this was an amazing gift. Thank you. Smile for the gram. Hashtag blessed. No, hashtag speak your truth, because if you because the wages of sin will be death, especially if it's your mom. I'll keep it real with y'all. Like, my mom will be here next week so she can verify this. I remember at Christmas time, my mom bought me this pair of jeans with zippers on it when it wasn't cool from this store, this store called Rendell's. And I don't know if you guys remember Rendell's in George Courts back in Auckland, but she bought them and she thought she was doing me the biggest favor. They were acid wash when acid wash wasn't cool too. And they had buttons in places that, you know, buttons should never be. And she gave them to me. And then we had not just my immediate family, because it's just myself and my sister, but we had the whole extended family over opening gifts. And I could not hold it. I'm a terrible actor. Tina will tell you, I'm a terrible actor. Like, I try to act like, you know, I'm happy and praise God, but like, I just had one of those, like, I just sucked the lemon type faces. Like, trying to figure out, what were you thinking? Just give me the voucher, huh? You know? And she could tell. And I could tell that she was kind of taken aback. That doesn't negate the fact that she loved me and she gave me a gift. It's just whether I accepted it or not. You know what I'm saying? And God loves us. He doesn't give us acid wash jeans with buttons. He gives us a gift that we need. Not that it'll ruin our reputation at the age of 14. Healing shame, healing shame. But like... But you get what I'm saying? Like, he gives us a gift that we need, and it's freely given. The best of heaven was freely given from the one whose train of his robe fills the temple with glory. That's the gift that he gives us. But it's kind of like, I don't know if I need this. We treat the gift of God like it's a pair of, like, zipper button acid wash jeans. Now, they're cool now. Some of y'all are like, man, you should have given them to me now. This was 1995. I mean, everything was baggy at the time. These were so skinny. These were skinny at a time when skinny jeans were not supposed to be skinny. You know, like, I know worship leaders today, they wear skinny jeans now just so they can reach high notes and stuff. But, oh, did I let my secret out? But it's funny, I was in Singapore and, like, I used to make fun of my friend. He's an American, a very close friend of mine. He's a pastor of another church. And I used to make fun of him because he was wearing the skinny jeans before everybody else, because he's like from Seattle, and Seattle, like, they're kind of ahead of the fashion curve from Singapore law. And so, you know, he came back from one of these trips to Seattle and everything he was wearing was like skinny jeans. I was like, man, why are you wearing those skinny jeans, man? That's ridiculous, man. You're trying to be like those hipsters, you know, that started Starbucks over in Seattle. And he said, oh, you're just jealous because, you know, Samoans, any jeans they wear are going to be skinny jeans. So my friendship ended there. I'm just kidding. The wages of sin is death, right? Like, are you living a life full of flappability, or are you receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord? You see, this is how we position ourselves. He freely gives this gift to us. This is the gospel. You recognize the glory of God and how he beautifully creates the universe, and he creates you in imago Dei in the Latin, which is the image of God. But then we recognize how fallen we are in light of his holiness. But then he responds out of his holiness and sends his son, Jesus Christ, as the gift that was freely given for us at Calvary and in the resurrection, so that we not only have received forgiveness, but we have life. And life abundantly, we have a full life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, get a life. So we look up and see the glory of God. We look in, see how fallen we are now. We look out, and he sends the redeemed into the nations with this message that I'm giving to you today, which is the gospel. So what happened was, and Stephanie read the passage. I want you to catch what she said. In light of him touching, having his lips touched with the coal and his sin completely atoned for, which means that, you know, like, it was fully paid for. What happens is God says, the Lord says, who will go for us? Again, pointing to the picture of the Trinity. It's not a multiple God speaking, but it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saying, who will go for us? And out of understanding that he's been forgiven, in light of God's glory, in light of his sinfulness, and in light of the fact that he sent someone to atone for his sin, Isaiah's only response is, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Positioned in the gospel working through him from the inside out. Now, the current leader of our movement, Pastor Steve Murrell, put it this way, right? He says that there is no other option but for God's community of redeemed people. How many of you have been redeemed? Been had your sin atoned for? You received the gift of the forgiveness of God. There is no other option but for God's community of redeemed people to be the salt of the earth. What do we mean by salt? What's salt good for? Many of you know this guy, Salt Bae. The thing about salt is that it's useful for bringing flavor. You bring the flavor of the gospel. The second aspect of salt is you bring healing. How many of you have had open wounds and then you go into the sea and it's like, just like skinny jeans, you sing the high notes, right? Because it's sore at the time, but salt accelerates the healing process. And God has called you to be the salt of the earth, helping to accelerate the healing process. Sometimes we're afraid to offend, but we speak the truth in love, right? Another aspect about salt, if you've been to colder places, is that they will throw salt onto the roads because it brings steadfastness in order to grip tires, right? You're familiar with this? So when salt is thrown down, tires are able to be more grippy on the roads because of the salt being there. And God wants us to represent Him well in order that we represent His steadfastness. The steadfastness of His love never ceases, Lamentations says, and that His mercies never end. And then lastly, you bring preservation. Some of y'all are thinking about corned beef right now, right? There's a reason why that flavor stays on there is because it's preserved. Salt brings preservation, and God's using you. How is He sending you? He's sending you to preserve the truth of His gospel and bring it out. Matthew 5 talks about if salt loses its saltiness, it's cast out onto the street because it's not useful. Have we as a church, have we as a people lost our saltiness? Not talking about being salty in terms of being bitter, but I'm talking about being salty in terms of bringing flavor, bringing healing, bringing steadfastness, and bringing the preservation of the truth of God from heaven, from the one whose train of His robe fills the temple with glory, who has forgiven us and atoned us of our sin. Now we have the honor of taking this message out. You want to position yourself to hear the voice of the Lord? Accept the gift. That's it. Accept the gift of His atonement, of His forgiveness for our sins. See, in light of who He is, just how impure you are. It's not on a scale. Either you're in sin or you're not. But I'm not as bad as, cut that out. Because it's that same spirit that would judge people based on you having a position, not being in position, in desperation to receive His forgiveness. So here's the discussion question. We're going to break up into groups of three or four at this point. And I hear the response of our church as a unit. Here we are, Lord, send us. Send Every Nation Brisbane. We've got some exciting announcements to make in a couple of weeks. Over the next weeks, I'm going to just leave you with that. But God's sending us. God's beginning to prepare us to send us. So the two questions I have, right? Well, one question which leads into the other question is, have you received the removal of your shame and guilt from Jesus, the gift that He offers? If not, would you like to? And I want to activate the Christians in this room. If they haven't received, or if you haven't received it, would you like to? And if the answer is yes, then I want to encourage you to pray for them and help lead them to Christ. Remember what I gave you. I gave you those three steps and just praying for people to receive Christ. Not that it's a magic prayer, but it's a part of the journey of offering your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's basically recognizing those three things. He is glorious. I am not, but I receive His forgiveness. I receive that gift. Okay, if you can remember those three things, we acknowledge your glory. We acknowledge that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but thank God for His forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ. Receive Him as Lord. And that's what we call, quote unquote, the sinner's prayer. Again, it's not a magic prayer, but it's a prayer that is prayed in offering your life to the Lord. I want to activate you to help lead people to pray that prayer. So if not, would you like to? If you have, are you ready to be sent wherever He leads? This is an exciting adventure, guys. Fam, this is an exciting adventure that He wants you to live in. If you'll fully step into everything that He has for you, I'm telling you, It's way, way better than Aladdin's promise to Jasmine in terms of him showing her the world shining, shimmering, splendid. God has a lot in comparison to that. God has a massive adventure ahead for you. Will you trust him today?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.